He took those scars for us, and it's by his stripes that we're healed. What a Savior. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 25. We're going to be in 25 and 26, so actually if you'll open them to 26, 16 is where we're going to begin. I'm thankful to be here today, and we got a lot of folks out sick. I want to pray for them, see those empty seats, and want to pray for those not able to be here. But I'm thankful that you're here and thankful for those watching online. You know, if you've ever had to miss and you watched online, you know it's not the same, right? But it's also a blessing for those who just absolutely can't be here. So if you are at home watching online, let us know, and we're glad that you can do that. Acts 26, 16. If you guys don't mind, will you stand again? We want to give reverence to the Word of God. I want to remind you today, this is God's Word that we're about to read. We were learning in our Sunday school class back in the back that this Bible is inspired by God. It's God-breathed, that the Spirit of God moved those men who penned it. And yeah, he used different human authors, but they were just like an instrument in his hand. This is God's Word. He's the author. And so we're going to hear from him today. Let's pray, and then we're going to begin here at Acts 26, 16. And Brother Philip, would you mind leading us in a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, it is with thanksgiving that we enter your gates and meet your courts. We come with praise. Thank you for the opportunity to be here right now. Thank you for your amazing love and salvation that's offered to all. I pray that those who are lost will not neglect a great salvation. Be with us now. Lead us by your Spirit into the truth. Pray you will be with Brother Isaac as he brings the message. Pray for those brothers who are not here. If they can be here, bless them, comfort them when needed. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. While you're still standing, Acts 26:16 says, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Amen. Please be seated. This is Lord Jesus speaking to Paul, when he was still Saul of Tarsus. Paul is again giving an account of what happened. He's before another leader, another Roman ruler, and he's telling his story. And remember, my story isn't really my story. My story is the story of Jesus in my life. And your story as a Christian is not really your story. It's the story of Jesus and what he's done in your life. And so that's what's going on. But I want you to focus on this today. We're going to really focus on this idea. But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. When God came to meet him, when Jesus came to meet Paul on the road to Damascus, he came and he said, "I have a purpose for you." I want to tell you today that God has a purpose for your life as well. You say, "Well, he was an apostle and he was a special guy." Well, I don't always say this, but hear me today. You're special too. Aw. You're special, and God loves you very much. Anybody got VeggieTales playing in your head right now? Listen, here's the truth. You are. You're special to God. He loves you so much. He took those scars in his hands that Brother Carl sang about. And he does have a purpose for your life. And yeah, not all of us are going to be missionaries or pastors or apostles. None of us are going to be apostles today. That's a lesson for another time. But what we are is called of God to walk with Jesus, to know him and to make him known. And so you have great purpose in your life. And so we want to learn about that purpose today. But let's catch our context. So let's back up to chapter 25, verse 13. Chapter 25, verse 13. And I want you to see, first of all, that your purpose is greater than your circumstances. Your purpose is greater than your circumstances. Verse 13 in chapter 25 says, "And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came into Caesarea to salute Festus. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's case to the king, saying, "There is a certain man left in bonds by Felix, about whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him. To whom I answered, 'It is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die, before that he which is accused have the accusers face to face, and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him. Therefore, when they were come hither, without any delay on the morrow, I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth, against whom, when the accuser stood up, they brought none accusation of such things as I supposed, but had certain questions against him of their own superstition, and of one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. And because I doubted of such manner of questions, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these matters. And when Paul had appealed to be reserved unto the hearing of Augustus, or Caesar, I commanded him to be kept till I might send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said to Festus, "I would also hear the man myself." "Tomorrow," said he, "thou shalt hear him." And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice, with a great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing, with the chief captains and principal men of the city, at Festus's commandment, Paul was brought forth. And Festus said, "King Agrippa, and all men which are here present with us, ye see this man, about whom all the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself had appealed to Augustus, I have determined to send him, of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my lord. Wherefore I have brought him forth before you, and especially before you, O King Agrippa, that after examination I might have somewhat to write. For it seemeth to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not withal to signify the crimes laid against him." Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." If you'll stop right there for just a second, we're just trying to lay the groundwork of what's going on. Paul, remember, was accused of bringing a Gentile into the temple of Jerusalem. It incited a riot. There was a mob of people who were trying to kill Paul, but the Romans came in and broke up the mob because the Romans don't really care what anybody does as long as they don't cause an uproar. So the Roman captain comes in, takes him, carries him in, and you remember how Paul stood on the steps of the garrison or the castle and gave a defense, and how all the Jews listened to him. Remember, he spoke in Hebrew to them. They listened to him up until the word he said, Gentiles. And when he said Gentiles, they lost their minds again, and the Romans had to carry him in and protect him. They were going to scourge him until Paul told them that he was a Roman citizen. And you can't beat a Roman citizen unless he's condemned. Okay? Buddy with me still? We kind of have due process here in America somewhat, you know. We're all supposed to be presumed innocent until we're proven guilty. And it was the same kind of thing under Roman law. You can't just beat somebody. If they're a Roman citizen, they have rights. Now, if he was just a Jew, they could beat him like a dog. They don't care. If you're not a Roman citizen, you're not really human in their view. And so that was the attitude that they had. But when he found out he was a Roman, he was scared to beat him. And then he didn't know what to do with them. So he sends him down to the governor, who's down at Caesarea because the Jews are trying to kill him. He sends him down to Caesarea to the governor at that time, who was Felix. Now, Felix was a Roman governor or procurator. He had the same job as a guy named Pontius Pilate. Do you remember him? Pontius Pilate was the governor in Jerusalem who condemned Jesus to die. Remember, he's the one who washed his hands and said, "I'm innocent of his blood. Do whatever you want to with him." But he was the governor of that area. This guy, Felix, was the governor of another Roman district, and that's where Paul got sent to, okay? I know, it's like a history lesson. Like, I came to church today, I don't want a history lesson. Too bad, you're getting one anyway. Okay, just kidding, please don't leave. So Felix was there, and he, because he wanted to stay friends with the Jews who were in power, he kept Paul imprisoned for 2 years. 2 years. He keeps him. He's got some liberty. The centurion that was in charge of Paul let his friends come minister to him and see him. And he was kind of under like a house arrest type situation. Like, he couldn't just do whatever he wanted to, but he wasn't really in prison like we would think of. And so there, for 2 years, Felix holds him just because he wants to stay friends with the Jews. And then Felix's, basically his term is over. So Felix is out, and there's a new governor that's taken his place, and that's Festus. Now, Festus is the one that Brother Ben preached about last Sunday. If you missed it, you can go back online and look at that, listen to that. So that's Festus, and Festus finds out that Felix has kept this guy for 2 years, and he's like, this is ridiculous. I got to do something with this guy. I'm not just going to keep him here. So he's trying to figure out what to do. So when he moves from Jerusalem to take his place in Caesarea, where he's going to be the governor of that region, then he brings those Jews down like, listen, I can't kill him. I can't let you kill him because he's a Roman. So you're going to have to come down here. Tell me why he needs to be killed. He'll get a chance to answer for himself, and then we'll decide what to do. And so that's what happened last week. We saw they come down, make their accusation. Paul gives his answer, and Festus was like, I don't even know what to do with you. You're talking about people being raised from the dead. I don't know anything about that kind of nonsense. He's like, why don't you just go back to Jerusalem and be judged there? And Paul already knows. If he goes back to Jerusalem, they're going to kill him. So he says, listen, I've not done anything worthy of death. I know that. Festus, you know that. I'm not going to Jerusalem. So if you're not going to let me go, then I appeal to Caesar. And so that means that somewhere along the line, Festus has to get him. As a Roman citizen, he has the right to appeal to the highest court in the kingdom, in their realm, in their empire. And so he appeals to Caesar, and that's where we're at. Now there's a new king. Now Agrippa is Herod Agrippa II. So he's the grandson of Herod the Great, the one who tried to kill Jesus when he was born in Bethlehem. You guys remember that story? Okay, if you could just like nod your head. Okay, so the Herods were not really kings in Israel, but the Romans set them up as kings. They had no right to the throne in Israel. They had no right to the throne of the Jews. But the Romans, they get to put whoever in power they wanted to. So they set up the Herodian Empire. And you had the Herods that came. And Herod, this Agrippa is Herod Agrippa II. He's the grandson of Herod the Great. And that's who he is. So he has the same kind of power that Herod the Great did over the entire region. And he showed up, so it's a really big deal. Check it out. Paul is going to get to go to Jerusalem, to Rome, and preach the gospel there. But before he gets there, God makes a way for him to preach to not one, but two governors who had incredible power over the region, and now the king of the whole region. And he gets to preach Jesus to all of them. Now, he has to stay in prison for 2 years to do it. But just get this, God's orchestrating this so that Paul could do exactly what the Lord said he would do. He was going to preach the gospel to the small and to the great. And don't you know Paul was glad to do both? And don't you know we ought to be glad to do both? I'd rejoice to preach the gospel to anybody in our community, wherever they live, whoever they are. And if God gave us opportunity to preach the gospel to the governor of the state of Oklahoma or to the president of the United States of America, we ought to have the boldness to preach the gospel to anybody, whether they have a low position or a high position. And can I just say this? Everybody needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay. So I'm trying to bring you up to speed on what's going on. And here we are. Festus, Agrippa shows up basically to say, hey, congratulations on your new position as governor. You're the new procurator, and that's what he's there to do. And while he's there, he says, hey, I got this guy, Felix, left here. I don't know really what to do with him. He tells the story, and then Agrippa's like, hey, I want to hear his story too. And so that's where we pick up. Here's what I want you to get. Even though he had been in prison for 2 years, he didn't lose sight of his purpose. Do you guys agree that sometimes our circumstances can kind of derail our focus? And it doesn't take much for me. I'm gonna be really honest with you. Some of you in this room right now and some of you watching online have been through some really, really hard circumstances that have just thrown your life for a loop. And I thank God for some of you. God's brought you through that storm. He's brought you through that trial, or maybe you're still in the middle of it. And it's so easy when you're in a big trial to lose focus and to get derailed from your purpose. But it takes much less for me. I mean, my purpose could completely be derailed if I walk outside and I got a flat tire. Is anybody else like that at all? Like, it's just little things sometimes. Little things. I don't know if we have multiple children in our house, and I don't want to talk about my kids. I love my kids. But you know my kids don't always get along. I know that shocks you, the pastor's kids. But sometimes my kids will be discussing something stupid in an annoying way. I'm trying to use nice words today. And just their little headbutting can completely derail my life. Some of you have jobs. When you go to work, do you ever have problems at work? Anybody ever have problems at work? You can have something go wrong at work and it completely derails you. It could be the smallest thing or the biggest thing. And I'm just going to tell you, it's not a small thing to be imprisoned for 2 years for nothing. Falsely accused. Falsely imprisoned. And yet he never lost sight of his focus. I couldn't help but think about Joseph. You remember Joseph? He was in the Old Testament. He was betrayed by his brothers. He's sold into slavery. And God blesses him and he stays faithful. But then he's falsely accused and imprisoned, wrongfully imprisoned. And through it all, he stays faithful to God. And God raises him up to be the second most powerful man on the planet at that time. And God uses him to save many people alive from the famine that came. And through it all, it was all because his brothers had evil against him. And that's what he tells them in the end, right? Fast forward to the end of the story. They're scared to death that he's going to, when their dad dies, he's going to kill him. And he says, listen, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He knew that God had a purpose in it all, and he never lost sight of that purpose. Now, we don't get to read everything that happened in his heart and mind. I'm sure that Joseph along the way had some days of despair. Don't you think? Don't you think somewhere along the way he probably had some moments of doubt? There might have been some times when he's in that prison crying out to God saying, why is this happening to me? I didn't do anything wrong. I tried to be faithful to you. And I'm sure that he had those moments. But I'm going to tell you this, overall, he stayed faithful to God. God strengthened him. God gave him grace to get through it. And his circumstances did not derail him from his purpose. He had purpose. So now he's there. And he remembers God's purpose in his life. And his purpose, Jesus gave him. We're going to read it again in just a second. Your purpose is greater than your circumstances. Number two, here in chapter 26, verse 1 again, your purpose requires boldness to speak up. Don't be afraid to preach Jesus. Don't be afraid to preach Jesus no matter who's in the room. Don't be afraid to preach Jesus no matter who's in the room. Verse 1, then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore, I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, under which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Listen, I know it's a lot of reading, but sometimes story time's fun, right? Your purpose requires boldness to speak up. It doesn't matter who's in the room. The gospel is for everyone. And he is so excited to get to answer for himself, because remember, Festus was completely Roman, had no understanding of what the Bible said. He didn't know the scriptures, but Agrippa did know the scriptures. Agrippa did understand the Jewish religion. He did know what Moses and the prophets had said, and he understood the different divisions that were among the Jews. And so Paul was excited to stand up and say, listen, Agrippa, I'm so glad to answer for myself today, because I know you understand these things, and I know that you know about the promises that God had given to the prophets, and that's why I'm in trouble today, because I know that Jesus, who was crucified by the Jews, is risen again, and I met him on the road to Damascus. You listen, if these Jews would just tell you the truth, they know me. They know where I came from. They know how I was raised up a Pharisee of the Pharisees. They know that I was persecuting this way the Christians, just like they're trying to do me today. But it all changed when I met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And God showed up and met him and changed everything in his life. Man, I don't know. If you think about this stuff, there's no really comparison. We don't have a king in America, but I suppose you could just liken it to getting to talk to the president of the United States. Would you be intimidated if Trump was in the room? Some of you are like, nah, not at all. I'm going to be honest with you. I'd probably be a little intimidated. I'd be afraid he'd be like, you're fired. I don't know. I'm like, no, you worked for me. You're fired. No, just kidding. Maybe most of you, it wouldn't bother you at all. You'd just treat him like anybody else. But anytime I've met somebody who's famous or gotten an autograph from somebody who's got just a little bit of fame, I'm always a little intimidated. It's weird. Seeing people that you've only seen on TV, like in real life. Have any of you ever met famous people before? A couple of you have? Yeah, it's kind of weird, kind of intimidating. What's her name? Rue McClanahan. Met her on an elevator one time in Atlanta. You guys know Rue, who that is? Yeah, I only knew her because I used to sit on my grandma's recliner step and or seat, and she would watch Golden Girls. You guys familiar with that? Some of you are like, why is the pastor talking about Golden Girls? I'm just saying, when I rode on the elevator with Rue McClanahan, I was kind of intimidated. Like, it was awkward. It's like, wow, that's a famous person. I've only ever seen them on TV. My grandma used to watch her. It was kind of a big deal. So I'm just saying that when you get around people like that, maybe it intimidates you a little bit. Maybe none of you would be intimidated if you got to go to the White House and sit down and talk to the president. I would probably be a little intimidated by that, especially if I'm on trial. Okay? But Paul wasn't that way. He was so excited. I mean, you can almost hear it in his voice. He's like, I am happy to answer for myself today. I'm so excited. He's been waiting on this for 2 years. So now he gets to stand up and he's like, I can't wait to tell you, because unlike Festus, he doesn't really say that, but he's almost like, unlike Festus over here, who doesn't know these things, you're an expert in these matters. You understand what I'm about to tell you. And so he gets to preach Jesus to him and he gets to tell the story. And I love how he wraps it all up with the gospel, right? Listen, it's what I am preaching. What I am preaching is what Moses and the prophets have said all the time. that Messiah, that the Christ should suffer and that he should rise from the dead and he would bring light to everyone, Jews and Gentiles alike. And he gets to preach the gospel. It's awesome. I couldn't help but think about, we talked about Joseph, think about Moses. Moses, when God called him, he was like, I can't talk, I'm scared, I'm afraid, I don't even know how to say anything. You guys remember that when he meets God at the burning bush? And Moses is like, Lord, I don't know how to talk. And finally, God kind of gets fed up, and he's like, listen, who made your mouth? You know, it's like, okay, son. So God raises Moses up, and I think about Moses standing before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh had no love for Moses. But he boldly stood up and said, thus saith the Lord, over and over and over and over again. Fearlessly, boldly proclaimed God's word. We need to have that kind of courage today. Sometimes we feel afraid. Sometimes we feel like we can't talk to other people about Jesus. But I want you to know this. This is the core. This is the central part of your purpose as a follower of Jesus, is to tell other people about Jesus. His purpose in Paul's life, he said, I have this purpose because I want you to be a minister and a witness. And you know what God wants you to be? A minister and a witness. He wants you to serve him by serving others, and he wants you to testify. He wants you to be a witness of Jesus and who he is and what he's done in your life. And so your purpose is going to require boldness to speak up. I have been going door to door sharing the gospel since I was 17 years old, off and on my whole Christian life. And I'm going to tell you this, to this day, I still get nervous when I go to knock on somebody's door and try to talk to them about Jesus. I still need God to give me boldness. I sit down with somebody I met, and maybe I don't know if they're saved or not. Maybe we're having lunch, and I'm trying to talk to them about Jesus. I still get the butterflies. I still get nervous. I still get scared. Guys, if you're afraid to talk to people about Jesus, I understand that. But we need our love to overcome our fear. If we love somebody, how can we not tell them? If we actually love somebody, the best thing we can do for them is tell them about Jesus. A.W. Tozer said, a scared world needs a fearless church. A scared world needs a fearless church. Do you think the world is afraid? I know they're afraid. And I know they try to act like they're not afraid, and I know they try to do everything they can to hide their fear and suppress their fear, but I know they're afraid because they are afraid of death, because the Word of God says so. All their life, they're afraid from death, but that's why Jesus died, to deliver them from the fear of death. Today, I don't have to be afraid of death. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. I don't have to fear that. And that hope that God's given me, I want other people to have, and they can't have it unless they know Jesus, and they can't know Jesus unless we tell them about Jesus. But if we tell them, then they can hear and they can believe. Thought about Jeremiah. Jeremiah had a crisis in his life. He didn't want to preach anymore. He wanted to quit. He said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. You know what Jeremiah said? He's like, I'm not doing this anymore. But then he couldn't not do it. God's word was inside him, and he said, I can't hold out anymore. I got to say what God wants me to say. That ought to be our heart. It's what Peter and John said, right? When the Jews were trying to get them to quit preaching Jesus, and they told them in Acts 4:19, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I gotta say what God's given me. So our purpose requires boldness to speak up. And lastly, find verse 24. We're going to move quickly here at the end. Your purpose is found in faith and surrender. Would you say this? Did Paul find his purpose in life? Did he know what his purpose was? Do you think everybody in the world knows what their purpose is? No, a lot of people don't. Some of you sitting in this room, you don't. And some of you watching online, you don't. You don't know what your purpose is. But I'm here to tell you that the same calling that God gave to Paul, he gives to you. Your purpose is to serve God and to be a witness for him. That's your purpose. To know him and to make him known. That's your purpose. But the people he was talking to, they didn't know that. So they were going to have to surrender and believe if they were going to have that purpose in their life. So in verse 24, you're going to see the authorities, how they respond. As he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. And by the word, this word mad doesn't mean angry. It means crazy. So what Festus is saying is, Paul, you have been in the books too long. You have lost your mind. You've lost your mind. You actually believe that Jesus died and rose again. You actually believe that light from heaven shone around you and God spoke to you. You actually believe that. You've lost your mind. And Paul says, I am not mad. I'm not crazy, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Man, what tragic words. So Festus' response is, Paul, you're out of your mind. Paul's response to Festus is, I'm not out of my mind. I'm telling you truth. These are words of truth and soberness. But I think Paul senses that Festus is not open. Think he might have had some clues that Festus wasn't open to the gospel that day. But he could tell that Agrippa was open to the gospel that day. So he turns his attention to the king and he points at him directly. He addresses him directly and he says, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe. And he knows. I know you believe the word of God. And I've had that conversation with people before who haven't come to full faith in Christ. Do you believe the Bible? Oh yeah, I believe the Bible. Well, if you believe the Bible, friends, then you have to believe in Jesus. Because the Bible's all about him. It's all about him. Agrippa's response is almost persuaded. You've almost persuaded me to become a Christian. Almost persuaded is a terrible place to be. D.L. Moody said, the difference between an almost Christian and a true Christian is the difference between being almost saved and being altogether lost. Listen, the reality is either you believe or you don't believe. To be almost persuaded is to be altogether lost. To be near the gospel is not to be leave in the gospel. To go to church is not to be saved. What we're talking about is to be fully persuaded to put your faith in Christ alone. That's what the word of God demands, is trusting in Jesus. And he was almost persuaded. Look at Paul's response. I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Now, my understanding is this, because the king and his girlfriend Bernice showed up, and that's a whole nother historical lesson you can look into. They show up, they sit on the thrones, there's great pomp and circumstance. That means that there was a royal court gathered. So you got the king and Bernice, you got Festus, the governor, and you've got this court of people. So the room would have been filled with all kinds of important people of the day. It's from that region. So you got all of these people here. Paul not only got to preach the gospel to the king and to Bernice and to the governor, but to everybody in the room. And he says, I would to God that everyone here, not just you, but everyone here, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. So what does that mean? Well, I wish to God, my hope to God, my desire for all of you is that you would know Jesus, that you would understand that he died and he rose again, that you would believe what the word of God says and you would trust in him and that you would live for him. Who was Paul? Well, he was a minister and a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And his hope for everybody in the room was that they would believe and that they would surrender and that they would follow Jesus. What's your desire for everybody in the room this morning? Is it not the same? That everybody in the room would believe. Everybody in the room would follow. Everybody in the room would surrender. Everybody in the room, because of their faith in Jesus, would serve him and be witnesses for him. That was his great desire. It's my desire for you. It's my desire for all of us. When he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor and Bernice and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, "This man doeth nothing worthy of death or bonds." Then said Agrippa unto Festus, "This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed to Caesar." Because of all the way that everything worked out, God orchestrated everything in just the right way. Paul had to get to Rome. If he hadn't appealed to Caesar, then he might have been set free by Agrippa. If he got set free by Agrippa, then we don't know what would happen. But it wasn't in God's design. It wasn't in God's plan. Because Paul was backed into a corner and forced to appeal to Caesar so that they wouldn't ship him back to Jerusalem, he appealed to Caesar, and now Agrippa can't let him go. He has to go to Caesar. And so we don't understand why things work out the way they do sometimes. Sometimes it's just crazy, isn't it? We can't see why God allows things to happen like they do. But you can trust that he's on his throne. You can trust that he's in control. And you can trust him with everything in your life. This morning I'm going to ask our musicians to come. We're going to stand together. This afternoon at 1 o'clock, we're going to come back for our afternoon service. We're going to dig a little deeper into these, just a few of these points. But I want you to hear this today. There was a missionary who went down to Ecuador. He and several other people, Jim Elliott, Nate Saint, some of you have heard their story before. But they went down to take the gospel to the Alca people. And there were a lot of people in Jim Elliott's life as a young man, they didn't want him to go. They thought it's dangerous down there. Those people are cannibals. Like, you can't go down there. It's dangerous. But Jim Elliott said this: "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." What is he talking about? He's talking about giving his life to Jesus. He's saying that I'm not losing anything by giving it to him. I can't keep this life anyway. But when I give myself to him, I gain everything. I have no idea what God has in store for your life. No idea what kind of trials or difficulties you might face. I just know this: if you give your life to him, you'll never go wrong. Because when you give your life to him, he keeps you forever. So this morning, if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, we plead with you to be saved today. Call on the name of the Lord, and he will save you. If you've been saved, you need to be baptized. You need to identify with Christ. You need to commit your life to him publicly through baptism. There's a lot of things. You need to be saved, need to be baptized. Whatever it is, if he's dealing with your heart today, we want to invite you to come.
Page 577.
So we sing 577.